Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. A lot coming up. We're going to go through later on here in the show, coming up at 8:40. We'll talk to Brian Howell of Boulder Daily Camera about what went on with the Colorado Pro Day today, his inside scoop. We got Get a Grip coming up at 9, which I've deemed must-listen radio because, well, unbeknownst to some, I've been doing at least 1 hour so far today of my own content. But we do have to get out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He joins us every Friday at 8 o'clock. A college football analyst for PFF. His name is Max Chadwick, and he joins us now. Max, how's it going?
How are you guys doing?
Well, I would say after today, seeing the Browns send 8 people out, I don't know that I have any more of an idea, but I at least know that they're interested in somebody from Colorado. So I feel pretty good. I'm on the upswing ending the week on a Friday.
Yeah, that makes kind of a lot of sense right now. It seems to be like they're zeroing in on who they might be taking at number 2 overall. It's going to be fascinating what they do on draft night.
So a lot of talk this week just on our station and around the city regarding Travis Hunter, because you see the big talking heads talk about, well, it feels like they're going away from quarterback at 2. I'm curious just to know sort of where you stand on it. Whether or not you think it's really possible for him to be a meaningful contributor on both sides of the ball at the NFL level.
I think he can. Yeah, I would take a number 2 overall if you're not taking a quarterback if you're Cleveland. I would not take another non-quarterback in the NFL draft over Travis Hunter. I mean, there's a chance he could become the most valuable non-quarterback in the NFL for the simple fact of he could play both ways at a high level, right? So I really do think Travis Hunter is a one-of-one prospect. That, again, I would take that high. And after signing Myles Garrett to a long contract, I don't think drafting Abdul Carter is as needed as it was in the past. Actually, I think Travis Hunter would fit 2 needs that are bigger than edge rusher for Cleveland right now. So that's who I personally would take at number 2 overall. I don't think it's what's going to happen as of right now. I think Abdul Carter is the current favorite for that number 2 pick, but I would go with Travis Hunter if I was the Browns.
So just looking at Travis Hunter, if you valued him as just a wide receiver, where would you put him in this class? Sort of if you ranked your wide receivers, where does he stand?
Yeah, I think he's the number 2 wide receiver in the draft behind Ted Earl and McMillan. And I completely understand if you have him number 1. Like, my co-host Dalton Wasserman actually has him as the number 1 receiver and the number 1 corner in this draft. I have him as my number 2 receiver and my number 1 corner in the draft. So either way, he's a top 10 talent overall in the draft if he's only playing one way. And the fact that he plays both at an elite level makes him easily, I think, the best player in this draft.
Now, if you're looking, and you said you would like the pick at number 2 to be Travis Hunter, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the Browns really quick. Bouncing back from a 3-14 season, telling the city that you are looking to compete, whether or not we know how true that is, but you've made the sell that you're looking to compete in 2025 in the near future. Is it feasible for a team to look to do all of that while developing and navigating how to utilize a two-way player?
Yeah, I think so. So like I said before, I think Travis Hunter is a guy that it could fit 2 big needs for Cleveland, right? They need to find something else, receiving core outside of Jerry Jeudy, and their cornerback room could definitely use an influx of talent too. They have Denzel Ward there, but I think Travis Hunter would be probably the second best corner immediately on that team. So he'd at least be the second best receiver and the second best corner on the team, and he could honestly take over Denzel Ward and Jerry Jeudy as the best receiver and best corner on the team. So, yeah, he'd be incredibly valuable for a Cleveland Browns team that simply needs to add talent, and you add one of the most talented players of all time at two very valuable positions in Travis Hunter, that I think is it would be a home run pick for Cleveland.
Now, Max, we've talked pro days before and sort of where you stand on them. Was there anything today from either Hunter or Shedeur Sanders that jumped off the pages to you as something that you wouldn't have known or maybe the average person wouldn't have known before watching today?
No, I don't really think pro days are should be a major tool for evaluation. Honestly, it's cool to see those guys out there and doing their thing, but if you're really having major takeaways from a pro day, good or bad, I don't really think you're doing it right. Honestly, they don't really are really a big thing for me, at least. So it was cool seeing Travis Hunter run routes out there. It was even funnier seeing him do it without gloves on. I don't really care about how he or Shedeur Sanders did his pro day today, honestly.
All right, give me your honest opinion. Was Travis Hunter out there to show that Travis Hunter is a wide receiver that can run routes? Or was Travis Hunter out there for Shedeur Sanders to be like, all right, I'll go out there and at least try to make you look good?
Probably a little bit of both, right? I think there's definitely a little bit of, listen, I know I'm going to be a top five pick in the draft. Shador's case, you know, he's probably trying to show teams what he could do right now, considering the Browns might probably not going to take him at number two. Now it sounds like the Giants aren't going to take him at number three. Then you have no idea where he's going to go, right? So Shador's probably out there trying to show some teams, like maybe the Steelers, like, hey, come trade up to get me in this year's draft. Whereas Hunter is more solidified. Like, Hunter, I think, is going to be at least a top three pick in the draft. I'd be pretty surprised if he was available at number four overall in the draft. So I think Hunter's more solidified, probably was doing his buddy a favor in Shedeur Sanders out there, because I don't think he was planning on working out going into today, but he obviously did run routes out there. So that's probably more of what of why he was out there today.
Max Chadwick, college football analyst for PFF, with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I guess then I'll throw it out to you. You kind of put something together, but I want to see if you have anybody. If Shedeur did sort of get past the Giants at three, what other teams are you looking at as potential quarterback needy teams in this draft that would be looking to take him in the first round?
Yeah, I think it's possible that Las Vegas takes him at number six, although I don't think it's likely after they signed Geno Smith to that deal. You know, if they wanted to have Shedeur sit for a couple of years, that could be an option for them. I know he's got a relationship with Tom Brady already, so that would make some sense. New Orleans, I could see do it, but I think New Orleans is still so far away. And I say it sounds like more they're going to be looking for 2026 rather than 2025 to grab their franchise quarterback. So I don't know if they will do it. Maybe the Jets to sit behind Fields for a couple of years, but I doubt they would do it. And they start going down the list, man. I think maybe the Steelers. The Steelers would definitely be interested in Shedeur Sanders, so maybe he falls all the way to 21 overall. Maybe they have to trade up to get him. The Rams maybe to find a replacement for Matthew Stafford, who seems to be getting closer and closer to retirement. Those are some of the teams right there, but they're more picking in 20s than anything right now. So that's why I'm saying I really have no idea where Shedeur Sanders might land at draft night.
Yeah, give me a grade on this idea. Essentially, the Browns go into this, and they draft, I mean, take your pick at two. We'll say Travis Hunter for the sake you threw it out there earlier. And then you basically use 33 and then a day two or day three pick, maybe something else if you have to move back up and get Shedeur Sanders in the first round.
I don't hate it. I really don't. I think Shedeur Sanders is – I actually have him QB1 in the draft. Although it's by hair, I really – if you have Cam Moore QB1, I completely understand. So if you can get QB1 late in the first round, honestly, that'd be – good business for the Cleveland Browns, and getting both Colorado guys and Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, not a bad idea. I think Travis Hunter is the best player in the draft. Like I said, I think Shedeur Sanders is the best quarterback in the draft. So those would fit two huge needs for Cleveland. These guys get talent in that roster that in the form of Travis Hunter, and then obviously grab their quarterback in the form of Shedeur Sanders. So I definitely do not hate that at all. And I know there's some people thinking, oh, well, maybe they'll wait for Jackson Dart in the second round. There is a massive, massive gap between Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart, in my opinion. I would be willing to trade one of my day two picks, maybe another one, to make sure I go up against Shedeur Sanders.
How much is the arm strength and the deep ball accuracy a concern for you with Shedeur? I would say he tried to address that partially today. I don't know that he really showed anything, again, that you couldn't have seen on the tape. But is that a real concern, or is that something that you think a lot of smoke is blown into just from the idea that, yeah, he doesn't have the strongest arm, but it might not stop him at an NFL level?
Yeah, deep ball accuracy has never been a problem for him, honestly. You know, he's actually been one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the nation since he's been playing college football. So I don't really have a question about that. Yeah, the arm strength isn't the best, but it's not like it's horrendous either. I would say it's more of like C+, maybe B arm strength than anything else. It's definitely good enough to start at the NFL level. So I don't think it's that big of an issue, and he makes up for it. Sometimes, you know, guys with really strong arms makes up for, you know, the fact that they might be late to some plays. Shedeur Sanders, like I said before, is probably the most mentally gifted quarterback in this draft. He reads defenses at a high level. He's always on time. He anticipates things really well. He's extremely accurate. That makes up for a lot of arm strength concerns, honestly. So, I don't think the arm strength is, at least for me, not as big of an issue as it is for some other people.
Now, if you had to compare him to somebody, either a previous prospect, a current NFL quarterback, arm strength-wise, do you have a name in mind of someone who he reminds you of in, you know, just where the arm strength stands?
Yeah, I think maybe like a guy like Brock Purdy, that would be a guy I'd look at. I think it might be somewhere along the lines of Tua Tagovailoa as well, maybe a little stronger than that. That's probably what you're talking about here with Shedeur Sanders. And, you know, best case scenario, nothing is what he's going to turn into, but best case scenario, he's in the mold of a Joe Burrow, right? The guy who's just extremely accurate, extremely smart, going to beat the defense with his mind. That's what you're looking for with Shedeur Sanders as well. So those are kind of the vein of quarterbacks that I think his arm strength is relative to. And you're hoping, like I said, he could turn into that Joe Burrow type of quarterback.
Again, Max Chadwick of PFF with us here on the hotline. I guess I'll throw it out there. People have been saying that there's a lot of climb for Jackson Dart. You could see him potentially going into the top 10. Take a personal ranking out of it in the way you feel. Is there any scenario in this draft where Jackson Dart goes off the board before Shedeur Sanders does?
Possibly. I would be surprised, but there could be some teams that have different orders for their quarterback rankings. It's definitely possible, but like I said before, I think Shedeur for most teams is pretty clearly QB2, and I think most teams probably agree with me that there is a big gap between the top two and everyone else in this draft. So it's certainly possible, right? It only takes one team to have Jackson Dart above Shedeur Sanders for that to happen. But I would be a little surprised if that actually happened on draft night.
You put any stock into Deion saying today that he expects one of his two players to be going to Cleveland at two? Or is that just sort of Deion being confident for his guys?
Yeah, I think that's probably Deion being confident for his guys. Like I said before, I actually think Abdul Carter might be the favorite to go number two overall as of right now. I still think they're deciding between Carter and Travis Hunter. But if I had to place a bet today, I probably would bet on Abdul Carter, even though I disagree with you. I mean, Abdul Carter's a great player, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he'd be as valuable to the Browns as, say, Travis Hunter would be, right? So I think it's probably Deion just saying that right now. I mean, I do think the Browns are interested in both of them, Travis more than Shedeur at this point. But, it's probably more Deion hyping his guys up to go as high as possible rather than anything else. And I think everyone, including Deion, kind of agree that Cam Ward is pretty much locked in and going number one right now.
All right, Max, I'll get you out of here on this. The Browns moved on this offseason from safety Juan Thornhill, and they've yet to really address the need of another starting safety. Right now it would be Ronnie Hickman, undrafted free agent out of Ohio State, so I would imagine they're looking to do something about that. If I throw it out to you right now, I'll ask for three names of safeties that you like, a guy who could be there at 33, and then potentially two guys that could be available in the third round or later that you also really like.
Yeah, so at 33 overall, maybe Malachi Starks and Nick Emmanuel fall to 33. It sounds like both those guys are going to be first round picks. So that's probably an option there. I mean, Xavier Watts, if you want to go with 33, he will be available. I'd be pretty surprised if he's a first-round pick. So Xavier Watts, another option there. Honestly, what I would do on the Browns is in the third round, I would probably get Kevin Winston Jr., the safety from Penn State. I think he's the second-best safety in the draft. And honestly, if he didn't get hurt this past year, he could have been the top safety in the draft. He is a phenomenal run defender, really good tackler, and he's really good in coverage. He's a phenomenal athlete as well. He had a partially torn ACL this past year, limited him to only two games. But like I said, his tape as a true sophomore was absolutely fantastic. And he's actually recovered from that torn ACL now. He actually ran like a 4.4 at his pro day, just like 6 months after tearing his ACL. So, freak athlete, great, great tape as a sophomore 2 years ago. He should be available late third round because of that knee injury. But I think just talent-wise and how good he was in 2023, I would put him in the same category as Malachi Starks and Nick Emmanuori, and I think he could be one of the biggest steals of the draft in the third round.
Well, now you have me excited, Max. Now I'm excited to go and watch the tape on a safety out of Penn State, and that I thank you for. As always, though, I thank you for setting aside the time. Always good to talk to you, and I look forward to doing it next Friday as well. Only a couple more here before the draft.
Yep, appreciate you guys.
Yep, Max Chadwick of PFF, college football analyst, joining us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Good stuff out of Max. Feels like more and more that we talk about it, the quarterback is farther and farther away. But also, Max addressing there, Shador's arm strength. Doesn't feel to him that it's a real issue. Is it one to you? 216-474-0092. You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. And we'll react again and get to that coming back. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan.
That's Cleveland Starting Now, powered by Bet365 Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians.
All right, guys, Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan. I just got done talking to Max Chadwick of PFF, college football analyst over there, and really good stuff, including what he says is not a problem, just not an issue for Shador Sanders, that the arm strength just isn't that great. He also had some really good stuff on Travis Hunter as well. If you're looking for a safety that the Browns could be getting potentially in the third, fourth round, you had a really good observation on Kevin Wilson Jr., the safety out of Penn State, which I like to hear. I now have more tape to watch, and I will be doing so. And Odyssey Rewind feature, 923thefan.com at some point tonight. You'll be able to go back, listen to that. I would recommend probably again, I would say 10:55. Good time. Want to remind you, Brian Howe, Boulder Daily Camera, breaking things down farther. They're going to be joining us here in about 13 minutes. But I want to get you guys' thoughts at 216-474-0092. Whether or not Shador's arm strength is a real problem, or if you sort of put this as almost a big smokescreen by, I don't know. For me, it's clearly been out there that I think teams and draft analysts and everybody under the sun can find a reason not to like Shador Sanders. And a lot of it sort of dating back to his last name, just the fact that you are Deion's kid, right? You are Deion's kid, and I don't know that that necessarily plays perfectly into me liking you. And that's fine. We know that's the territory that it comes with. And I'm not saying that Shador Sanders has elite arm strength. I'm not saying they latched onto it in their line. He does. He has, his arm strength is subpar. It's not great. But I feel like in this entire process where we have been evaluating a quarterback really in the draft this intently for the first time, I mean, since Baker Mayfield, right? You haven't really had the opportunity to break down quarterbacks, what they mean for the Browns. I think that we've gotten sort of almost misconstrued on the idea of what arm strength really is. Like when people bring up, he doesn't have a strong arm, he can't be that great in the NFL, I feel like the take and the feeling around it is he can't complete the deep pass. No, guys, he can complete the deep pass. He did it very accurately at his time in Colorado. He was one of the more accurate passers, even downfield, while quarterbacking the Buffaloes. But what it means is he's not going to deliver a ball on a rope. He's not going to be putting out these insane balls 50, 60 yards down the field that are in the perfect spot on a line. No, he's going to have to float some of those passes in there. He's not going to be able to give you, 30 from the field, an absolute strike. The good thing is that's not Kevin Stefanski's offense. We know that. Kevin Stefanski's offense is built on, I'm going to surprise you at the deep shot to the point where my guy should be open, so he shouldn't have to hit him on a line. And I'm going to have a lot of dink and dunk, a lot of the medium things. Everything's going to be, besides those shots, pretty much within 25 yards. And he's going to be able to make those passes. And he's accurate and he's on time in a way that a lot of quarterbacks aren't. He's very impressive. I think that it's more been almost a latch onto the idea that, yes, this is going to be a massive problem. And it's not something that Deion or Shador are really not paying attention to. In fact, both of those guys addressed it when they were talking today, when they appeared on NFL Network. I want to play you the clips here. We'll start things off. Let's hear what Shador himself had to say about the buzz surrounding the arm strength that he has. This audio, again, courtesy of NFL Network.
I heard I can't throw the deep balls. I don't know where they get that from. I understand different throws, and I understand what has to be done. Like, I don't throw one ball every time if it's unnecessary. Why would I want to make it harder on my receivers to catch the ball? Mm-hmm. I understand what the strengths, the weaknesses, and I'm not going to make it tough on them.
Now, for Shador, I think there's, okay, maybe pump the brakes a little bit on yourself, maybe slightly, okay? But he's very confident himself. We know that. There's nothing new here. I like the confidence that he has. But he also brings up a good point, like, that I think was almost semi-unrelated about the one balls, a.k.a. the passes that he would have to make that are incredibly, you know, his best thing that he has, essentially a fastball, right? You don't have to always have that. You want to make it a very catchable ball for your receiver, sure. I don't know that necessarily addressed the arm strength issue, but again, you go look at him play against Colorado, and I'll be very, I'll admit the fact that when he was at Colorado, maybe he didn't play the strongest of defenses. That could be of concern. I draw that as a concern for Travis Hunter. Only fair that I would draw it as a concern for Shador Sanders. But I do believe him when he says, I understand the different throws I have to make. I know and I understand what my receivers need. I think he's been able to prove that not only at his time in Colorado, but dating back to the entirety of the time that he's played in the NCAA, in Division I. Playing for Jackson State and Colorado, he's been able to prove that he does deliver a very catchable football. So I don't think that you should just be throwing that out the window. I don't think that should be something you're not paying attention to. But I get it to some degree. And you know what? I thought it was interesting, too, what Deion had to say when it was brought up. Let's get to what Dad and his response was about the inability in arm strength here. Again, audio courtesy of NFL Network.
So all of a sudden, his arm ain't strong. He's strong for how many yards? All of a sudden, his arm ain't strong. All of a sudden, he's not this, he's not that. But we're built for this, man. He's been raised for this. Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say a less, maybe, I don't know, is palpable the right word? A less palpable argument, one that you look at and you're just like, okay, there's Deion being ultra confident as he normally is. But again, he brings up a point. If you look at what Shador has done, not only being raised by Deion, which I think is something that has to be talked about when you consider who he is and his ability to maybe succeed in the NFL, I think Deion plays a massive part of that. But beyond that even, it's like, okay, look at what he's done. He's been able to go through and be successful to this point, show you how accurate he can be, show you just how good he can be as a passer at multiple different levels, and you can throw almost all of that out the window, and it's all of a sudden his draft time rolls around, yes, as we do our most evaluation. But now all of a sudden, that's a key issue for Shador, right? Nobody had an issue when Shador was potentially getting to the college football playoffs and almost knocking on that door in the Big 12 about his arm strength. Like, that wasn't a concern that was drawn from Colorado this entire year, is that Shador doesn't have a strong enough arm to be a competitor at the highest of levels, right, inside the college game. But now that you get to the NFL game, we're breaking things down to a minute detail. Okay, you can bring up a lot of things about a lot of different players that are individual issues. Every player has a flaw. You don't have perfect prospects. You really don't. Cam Ward's far from a perfect prospect. And I think Max Chadwick sort of broke it down perfectly where, okay, guys, sure, he might not have the best arm strength, right? And he compared it to, what he said, Tua, Brock Purdy. He said maybe stronger than Tua and probably close to a Brock Purdy. Okay, those are two, at least you could say, semi-successful quarterbacks in the NFL. But now that you're breaking it down, it's okay. But he has things to overcome that, as Max said. It's like he's accurate, he's on time, where a lot of the quarterbacks with big arms struggle with that.
They've relied on the incredibly strong arm strength to make up for the fact that, oh, we're a little slow on the read. It's the opposite for Shador, where he's on top of the read. He doesn't have the arm strength to compensate if he's not. The good thing for me is that, guys, being on time is the teachable part of it. So if there's a point where you're afraid of what Shador can do, maybe between his shoulders, between his ears, be concerned about that, but that's teachable. Everything that you look at outside of arm strength for things you can't teach, like size, right? Like for pocket presence, I think Shador excels in. So I'm not concerned about the arm strength whatsoever. Coming up here in about 5 minutes, let's talk to Brian Howe, Boulder Daily Camera, covering the Buffaloes year in, year out. Maybe he thinks that arm strength is a problem. We'll get his thoughts on it and everything going down at the Pro Day today. Again, coming your way at 8:40. It's Jake Volnick with the guys right here on Overtime on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. We'll get to Get a Grip coming up here in about 16 minutes where, we got to take a shot. We're taking a shot. There's swings going back and forth. We'll take our swing and a lot more to get to as well. But it's time for Draft Daily where we go around, figure out what's going around the NFL draft, mostly through teams, but also through colleges. And with Colorado's Pro Day today, we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's Brian Howe covering the Buffaloes for the Boulder Daily Camera, and he joins us now. Brian, how's it going?
I'm good. How you doing today?
I'm doing very well. I'll throw it out to you very vaguely to start. Obviously, Pro Day today, we get to see a little bit of Travis Hunter, get to see a little bit of Shador Sanders. Your overall takeaways from the day in total?
Yeah, I mean, it was, unlike any Pro Day CU's had, I mean, anybody that follows CU, they don't typically have a whole lot of draft picks. Last year, they didn't have any. So to have the type of star power they have is kind of cool and made this year's unique. But, you know, it was great to see Travis and Shador together again, you know, on the field and throwing to some of their other, you know, top receivers and things like that. So both of them look good, too. I mean, Shador was sharp and Travis was Travis.
Yeah, overall, if you broke down the way that Shador looked, like let's say, for instance, the long ball is something, they throw in the deep balls, something that's a concern for people. Do you think he did anything today to prove to even the casual viewer and the concerns that they might have and to dispel some of those thoughts?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I thought he looked sharp, especially on the deep balls. There were a couple drops that certainly are not on him, but you know, there was a couple throws he missed, but out of, I don't know how many throws he had, you're going to miss a couple. I thought he looked pretty sharp, and honestly, I think I've never had questions about how he can throw the deep ball. I think we've seen it in games a lot of times that he can make precision throws from deep. So I think he showed it again today, but I think he's shown it in games as well.
So what can you tell me then about what can you tell me about Shador Sanders, the player, just from watching him and being around him for the last couple of years, that the average person who's watching his film might not know from an on-the-field standpoint?
Well, he's an exceptional leader to his teammates. I mean, his teammates love him. He's a bona fide leader in the locker room, and he's just a total gamer, and he's a winner. I mean, he's the guy that he's just that quarterback that, in every situation, whenever the offense goes on the field, you feel like they're going to score. And if you're losing in the fourth quarter, you feel like you still got a shot with him on the field. So, I mean, he's just got, I guess, that it factor that people talk about. But I mean, he's just that guy that I think can really produce a lot of confidence and leadership for a team.
All right, Brian, there was a dinner with the Browns executives and the Browns higher-ups with Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders. Do you have any insider info for me whatsoever on how the dinner went, what was talked about, anything at all? If you give me the smallest tidbit, it'd be more than I know now.
Well, Shador was asked about the dinner. He said that he took the Browns to their favorite steakhouse, and he got really, really full and had to go sit in the sauna in the steam room and kind of chill out a little bit afterwards and kind of, you know, sweat some of that out. But he said it was, I'm looking at the quote now, it was a good vibe, it was a good atmosphere. That's all he really said about it. But that's good that it was a good vibe, a good atmosphere. So apparently they got along with the Browns.
Hey, I'll take it. I was expecting nothing. So anything that I get out of it was better than, again, what I've heard today. I do want to focus a little bit on Travis Hunter as well. From a pro day perspective, I would say maybe less of a view. We didn't know if Travis was going to run when the day started, if he was going to go out there and be in routes. Was today, do you think, for Travis more about himself in showing teams that he's a wide receiver still and can go out there and do it? Or was today more about Shador Sanders could use, obviously, to look good, his best wide receiver out there, so I'm going to do it for him?
No, I think it was more for Travis. I mean, the Bucs have three other receivers that they think could get drafted this year. So there was plenty of talent at receiver. I think it was more for Travis getting out there and flashing his receiver skills and his route running. And, you know, I think he did that. He didn't run the 40. He didn't do any of that other stuff. But I think he looked really good and showed that he can, you know, run some routes and catch the ball.
Brian Howell of the Boulder Daily Camera with us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. As we look at Travis, and from being able to cover him at Colorado, do you feel like it's basically given that he can play two ways in the NFL and he's able to do it at a high level at the rate that he wants to do it, being active on both sides pretty heavily?
Yeah, I think he can do it. I don't think he can be full-time like he was at Colorado. I think that'd be really, really difficult. I wouldn't put it past him, honestly, just because of the kid I've gotten to know. I just think he loves proving people wrong, and so I wouldn't put it past him. I think it might be best for him to focus on one side full-time and the other side part-time. I don't know which is which, but I think that he certainly can. I just think he's such a dynamic athlete and really unique that if anybody can do it, it's him.
Is there one side of the ball that maybe people around Colorado, even the team or yourself, think that he's better on than the other?
Not really. I mean, I think the answer from Travis and Shador and Dion and everybody else is just whichever one he's on. That's what he's better at. I mean, he's really good at both. And I mean, he's the best corner I've covered at CU, and he's the best receiver I've covered at CU. So, you know, I think that he's just phenomenal on both sides. And I don't know if he's better at one.
I would say that the play at some point speaks for himself. Like, I could ask you about the player, Travis Hunter, but obviously just as unique as he is, it would make sense even that the type of scouting report that he's getting, obviously as well as he played. What can you tell me more about the person? Because I feel like a lot of the attention in the room obviously goes towards Shador, and not to say that Travis is a quiet player, but I would say that if you focus on Colorado, people probably know more about Shador than Travis.
Yeah, and a lot of that is that Shador has just been in the spotlight for so long. And, you know, Shador is the one that, you know, win or lose, he's going to be at the press conference after the game, whereas Travis avoids media obligations as much as possible. You know, and literally just an example, 2023, we spoke to him after the season opener against TCU, and we didn't speak to him the rest of the season. So that's just – he just doesn't like to do media, but he's a really good kid. And, you know, he's a great person that, you know, has a big heart, and everything you hear about him is he's just a really good person, loves being in the community he's in. Like, he really, he goes out and he'll give gear to a local youth football team and become friends with them, you know, and things like that. That's the type of thing he does, but he just doesn't like to do the media part, and he's not going to be out there talking to people a lot with a microphone.
Yeah, Brian, I'll get you out of here with this, but I do think it's interesting. As someone who's in Colorado who has more of an inside view on it, being able to be around Dion and what he provides, what do you think that if, wherever Shador gets drafted, how involved he'll be and sort of what the dynamic's been there, obviously different with him being the coach, but just covering him in general?
Yeah, I think he's going to be involved. I mean, I think he'll be around for sure. I don't know how involved with the team and things like that he'll be, but I would suspect that, you know, on Sundays he's going to be there. You know, the Bucs are going to play on Saturday, and I imagine he's going to hop on his private jet and be there in time for Shador's game on Sunday. So I think I would imagine he'll be on the sidelines every Sunday, and he'll be around, and he'll be a presence for sure.
All right, Brian, I appreciate the insight, and I look forward to hopefully maybe if the Browns draft one of these guys, talking to you sometime here in the near future. I appreciate it, man.
The odds seem very high, don't they?
They sure do.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, appreciate it, Brian. Brian Howe of the Boulder Daily Camera joining us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Really good stuff out of Brian. Appreciate everything he had to say, the insight he had to give. I feel like it's, listen, maybe it doesn't ease your fears hearing that Deion's going to be there, but I mean, it's at least a good father-son relationship, right? Can't knock that. Can't be mad about a father-son relationship where he's going to be involved and be at every game. And if nothing else, guys, I mean, you got to be at least slightly excited. That if it's for a game and you have Shedeur Sanders, the media is going to be there, right? We talk so long, so many times about the ideas, the idea that the Browns never get any national coverage. And maybe now, during the draft process, you're starting to feel some of that and what it's like to get the national coverage. It would never go away with Shedeur. As long as Shador's on your team and Deion's around the team, you can bet there would be media coverage surrounding you. If you want the Browns to be talked about, if you want the Browns to be respected, and maybe this isn't the year to do it, but either way, if you want the publicity in the national media to cover you, it happens when you have top players. It happens when you have guys in the room, and I think that's part of it. I also love the idea that, yes, from a Colorado standpoint, maybe it's slightly different, right? This time is sort of the best time that Colorado's experienced of any recent success. Not that they've been awful for a long time, but they've been relatively, I would say, at least average or below for a while. And they saw an uptick. So, yes, Shedeur is one of the better quarterbacks that we've been able to cover in Colorado. And I'm sure that Travis Hunter is one of the better wide receivers and corners you've been able to cover in Colorado. It's not just that, though. These guys are top prospects. And it feels like right there, maybe the most pressing statement coming from Brian is it sure feels like one of those guys is going to be there, no? Right at the end of the interview, sort of throwing out the idea that, hey, one of those guys probably going to end up in Cleveland. Feels like that's more and more likely. And that does feel like the growing almost thought process here more and more, even with Abdul Carter on the table. All right, let's leave that there. When we come back, man, I got a bone to pick. I got a bone to pick with something said earlier on this station. It should be good. I'll deem it must-listen radio. It's Get a Grip coming your way in 5 minutes. It's Jake Molnick with you guys on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.